Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and praise the Lord, we're able to be together again. And I just want to continue on sharing on a general subject of the greatest of these is charity. And I just feel by the Spirit, I don't have specifics, but I think there are many that are listening that are dealing with some difficult situations right now. And so on a previous broadcast, I shared about spiritual protocol and feel that it would be well for all of us just to hear what the Word of the Lord says about love. We understand that God is love, but what is our responsibility to measure up, if you will, to that high standard? When, you know, in theory, we can certainly agree with it and acquiesce and say, praise God, yes, I know we're supposed to be loving. Yet, but when it comes where the rubber meets the road, when we get pushed up against the wall, when there's someone who's ruffling our feathers the wrong way, when there are those, perhaps even in the body of Christ, that are being, acting in a way that is extremely hurtful, then what do we do? No matter what the situation is, we need to respond in love as well as in wisdom. Love doesn't mean you just lay down and let people walk all over you. That doesn't mean love. I mean, Jesus was very clear. I mean, he was the epitome of love, walking in human flesh. Yet he spoke very strong words to the Pharisees and those who had ears to hear, because they were doing things that were spiritually very dangerous to them, and he was warning them, you know, you observe the traditions of man rather than hearken and obey to the commandments of God. And so he was being loving. So it doesn't mean just we have to adjust our concept of what love is, that God is a God of love. Look what he did in sending Jesus Christ, his son, and Jesus' willingness to come and endure all that he endured, that we could be restored to fellowship with him. And yet he is a God of justice. There is a time his wrath is going to be poured out upon those who refuse and reject him. God does not send anyone to hell. That's a choice each individual person makes. They reject Jesus. They don't want to be under the leadership, under the control, under the authority of God. And so, you know, as Jesus said, you're of your father the devil, and will do the things that he delights to do. So, beloved, let's just adjust and ask God for wisdom, but also that we can express his love in a way that will bless as well as convict those who are not walking as they should. Love fulfills the law. And I'm going to be sharing various translations of the scriptures that I've pulled together. But in Romans 13 and 8, this is the modern language, "Owe no one anything except that you love one another. For the person who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law." The Living Bible translation says, "Pay all your debts except the debt of love for others. Never finish paying that. For if you love them, you will be obeying all of God's laws, fulfilling all of his requirements." And then a scripture in Matthew, the 22nd chapter, verses 37 through 39, where Jesus was speaking and addressing the truth that love is the highest principle. Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And we understand that if God is love, that we, who are brothers and sisters in Christ, can demonstrate the Christian faith by brotherly love. I'm going to share 1 John, the second chapter, verses 9 through 11. This is Modern Language Translation. He who claims to be in the light and hates his brother is in darkness to this very hour. He who loves his brother remains in the light, and there is nothing within him to occasion stumbling. But he who hates his brother is in the dark and walks in the dark. He does not even know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. See, that's not a place to be in. Love is commanded by Christ and is given to all of us. The example of his life is given as a way in which we can demonstrate the Father's love. John, the 13th chapter, verses 34, and John 15 and 12 says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." Modern Language says, "This is my command, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down his life for his friends." And that may not be a literal laying down of temporal life, but it could be. But also laying down our life in service to others. In other words, being concerned about their needs, about being an encouragement and a blessing to them, rather than just selfishly considering what are the things that pertain to you, what are the things that you want. That's very natural, but it's a very immature. It's just like a baby, an infant. That's all they think about is themselves. What's a hallmark of maturity of a child? They begin to grow and understand in responsibility and in an awareness that others factor into their life, that they're not the center of the universe, but that to be a responsible, mature adult, there has to be a wonderful balance between caring for your own needs. You must be responsible. No one else can take care of you but you, under the Lord. And also that we must balance that time to allow ourselves to be recreated and refreshed, along with service and giving of ourselves to others in time and energy, or whatever it would be, material resources. So we are to lay down our lives. And love should supplement godliness and brotherly kindness, and vice versa. Romans 12 and 10, the Modern Language says, "Be joined together in a brotherhood of mutual love, trying to outdo one another in showing respect." Well, that's one place that competition is enjoined and encouraged. All other forms of competition we don't need to be involved in. But that's one way we can try to compete, outloving, being loving to one another, which I think is delightful. And then in Galatians 5:13, Living Bible says, "For, dear brothers, you've been given freedom, not freedom to do wrong, but freedom to love and serve each other." All right, we've been looking at scriptures that admonish us to walk in love, to be loving as our Heavenly Father. But how can we sort of break this down? And you say, well, yeah, Sister Glass, I agree with that, but what are some practical ways we can be loving? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I'm going to share with you some ways out of the Word of God, various scriptures that define what it means to embrace and to show and demonstrate the love of God. One is in clothing the naked, basically those who are poor and impoverished. Isaiah 58 and 7 says, this is the Living Bible translation, "I want you to share your food with the hungry, and bring right into your own home those who are helpless, poor, and destitute. Clothe those who are cold, and don't hide from relatives who need your help." Now, of course, this is a principle. You have to use wisdom. I mean, if you would be an elderly lady, for example, you have to be very careful who you're bringing into your home. But it's a principle. It's a desiring, a willing to help. And you, of course, have to use wisdom in that regard. Matthew 28, 36 and 37 says, "Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me." This was Jesus speaking. "And I was in prison, and ye came unto me." Another way we can demonstrate love, aside from ministering to the literal physical needs of those who are impoverished or sick or in prison, to cover the faults of others. Did you ever think about that? That's love in action. Proverbs 10 and 12 says, "Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins." The modern language says of 1 Peter 4:8, "Above all else, cherish intense love for one another, for love covers up many sins." Praise God. Well, those are just a couple of practical ways, and I'm going to be continuing this tomorrow and sharing some more practical ways from the Word of God that we can demonstrate God's love. But I just want to pause for a minute, and I sense the Lord wanting to minister, and I just want to encourage your heart. I really feel the days we're living in, while they may be very challenging and difficult for God's people, for those that have faithfully served the Lord, I believe, as I shared at the beginning of the year, this is a time of breakthrough for so many who have stood faithful. And I just want to encourage you with a scripture, and that's found in Jeremiah 29:11, perhaps a familiar scripture, but these words form part of a letter which Jeremiah sent to those who were captive in Babylon. Remember, they were there for 70 years. And that word is, "For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord." Think about that. This is a revelation of God's mind and will to Jeremiah. These are personal thoughts, and he tells us by his own lips what he thinks of us. And those words are immortal. They are spoken to us as well. No philosopher, no scientist can tell you what God thinks about you, but his thoughts are particular thoughts. They're peaceful thoughts. They're prospective thoughts. Thoughts and plans for your welfare and peace, and not for evil. In verse 12, God says, "Then you will call upon me, and you will come and pray to me, and I will hear and heed you." God's ears are open to the cry of the righteous. And beloved, he's pouring forth a new anointing that is just shattering the plans and attacks of the devil. And so I'm just stirred in my spirit. And if you are in a place of needing the help of the Lord, if there's power in agreeing prayer, in a few moments the announcer is going to give you our contact information. Take just those few moments that are required to send that email, or you don't have to write a long letter, just a few brief notes, and I will pray earnestly for you and send back whatever God gives. I know you'll be blessed. There's more I want to share, but we'll have to do that tomorrow. Thank you so much for joining me today. I pray that you're blessed. I love you. Thank you for your prayer support, UCM partners, as well as your financial gifts that enable us to stay on this station. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. Amen. May God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You have been listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at either P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop her an email. Again, our address is P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, and that web address is unveiledchrist.org. And as you write, remember your prayers and tax-deductible offerings of support enable us to keep this broadcast ministry on the air. Thank you for joining us. God bless.